Mr. Brown.
May it please the court. My name is Jeremy Brown and I represent the United States in this appeal. The government seeks reversal of the district court's order granting the motion to suppress for two reasons. First, the government contends that the appellee, Mr. Garcia, was in fact under arrest when the officers took him from the scene of the traffic stop and that this arrest was indeed supported by probable cause. And secondly, the officers were permitted to escort Mr. Garcia to his home where he wanted to go to get his identification. Turning to the arrest, the court is well aware from the facts that are laid out in all of the briefs as well as the court's order that Mr. Garcia was stopped for a traffic violation, the vehicle that he was driving was not properly registered, and nor did it belong to him. He did not possess any form of identification. And when he was asked about producing a driver's license, he said that he did not have a driver's license, which in and of itself is a potential violation of the Indiana Criminal Code.
Has the government ever argued that he consented to have the police come into the house with him?
At the district court level, the government argued that there was a consent to the entry, much like the consent with Washington versus Chrisman, where a defendant decided to go into his own place of abode, but not the consent to search, if that's your question, Your Honor.
Well, I don't understand.
There wasn't any search.
They just walked around with him, didn't they?
They followed him into his home.
Well, if they agreed, if he consented to have them accompany him while he looked for his ID, why wouldn't that be adequate consent? Then they're in there lawfully. They see things in plain view. So
we certainly think that it is a consent to enter the home, yes. And that was
our consent to enter the home. Why doesn't that do it, then?
It's the only thing that matters.
Why doesn't it do it?
Yeah.
We think it does, if he was under arrest.
Now, what does that have to do with it? If the police say, we'd like to come in and follow you around while you're looking for your identification, and he says, fine, it wouldn't matter whether he's under arrest.
That's correct.
But you don't argue that. You don't argue that he consented. He was faced with it. So what if they said to him, look, we can either arrest you, we have grounds to arrest you, but we'll give you a break and we'll let you look for your identification, but we're not going to let you out of our sight. And he says, fine, I'd rather have you come in with me while I look for my identification than be arrested. Now, wouldn't that be consent?
To enter his home, absolutely.
So why isn't that this case, whether or not he's arrested?
As this court is probably aware, and I, with all due respect,
probably not aware. I wouldn't ask you.
I have to tread lightly because we have been instructed by the Department of Justice as well as the Solicitor General's office not to argue that this is a consent to search case.
Why?
My response may not be indicative of the level of respect I have to have for the Department of Justice, Your Honor. I attempted to go down that road with you, but I, as a matter of obligation, cannot.
All right. Well, ponder that.
Did the Solicitor General also tell you to ignore Wren?
I beg your pardon, Your Honor?
Did the Solicitor General also tell you to ignore Wren? I don't know why you're talking about Terry when Wren holds that this kind of circumstance is an arrest for purposes of the Fourth Amendment, and we held much the same thing in our en banc opinion in Childs. And your brief doesn't cite either Wren or Childs, and I can't figure out why. That doesn't seem to me the kind of thing that the Solicitor General would tell you not to do.
No, the Solicitor General, to answer your question, did not instruct us in that regard.
But so why are you not relying on Wren? Why isn't this a slam dunk after Wren?
A slam dunk that he was certainly under arrest?
Yes.
We believe it is.
And then after, so why are you arguing Terry, right? The district court talks about Terry but not Wren. You talk about Terry, but not Wren, and not Childs, and not Lago Vista. like my colleague, I'm puzzled about what is going on here.
Your Honor, the district court found that the officer's authority stopped at the Terry investigative stop, and that was all that they had reasonable suspicion to do.
Your argument is not limited by what the district court thought.
And that is true indeed, but we addressed that and said that we had more, and the officer in this case had probable cause to arrest. That the Terry stop transformed into probable cause to arrest, and that's exactly what took place. The officer placed this man in his vehicle. He took his car keys. The motorist vehicle was impounded. The person was handcuffed and taken from the scene. Clearly, Mr. Garcia was under arrest, which left him with a couple of options, either going directly to the Allen County Jail, or, as he requested, to be able to go to his residence to get his identification. And that is the primary evil that the district court took issue with, and that was the entry into the home. And that is why the government relies upon Washington versus Chrisman, as well as this court's opinion in United States versus Berkowitz. The Washington versus Chrisman opinion, although may appear to be more on point with respect to both individuals, Mr. Overdahl and Mr. Garcia, were looking for identification, and both had a conversation with the arresting officer about going back to their place of abode, the court's decision in Berkowitz may even be more instructive, because there, the agents went there to arrest him, and this court was very concerned about that entry past the threshold, the front door. And so in that case, the agents were at this person's residence when Berkowitz didn't want them there. Whereas in Washington versus Chrisman, and in the case at hand, both defendants wanted the presence of the police because they wanted to return to their home. And this court in Berkowitz relied upon the Washington versus Chrisman decision and said that although there was no consent to search, it does not matter because the right of the officer to monitor the movements of the arrested person is clear, and that's exactly what took place when Berkowitz said, "Can I go get my keys?" And now the officers, although already passed that threshold, which you remanded back to decide whether the arrest was indeed lawful, now are inside this man's home and seeing and discovering many things that the primary evil against, that we try to protect against of entry into the home is exactly what took place. But this court said that's fine because if the lower court determined Mr. Berkowitz was lawfully arrested, the arresting officer was warranted in following him and not allowing him just to protrude anywhere he wanted to go. Essentially, the government contends that when you look at this case and in the entire episode, the court can probably conclude that Sergeant Bonar, as well as the assisting officers, did not act unreasonably. And just because there were incriminating items found in this residence should not taint the analysis. In other words, wouldn't it be good police work to allow a motorist to go back and get their license, follow them in, and then take them back out to the car and leave, assuming no incriminating or evidence of a crime is there? So just because they
probably
found...
terrible police work strikes me as extremely risky for the officer. Got a single officer wandering all by himself into a house. He knows not what is inside. And for all he knows, the next thing that's going to happen is he's going to be pounced upon and subdued by the occupants.
Your Honor, the officer was accompanied by another officer by the name of Sergeant Walters, who was with him at the scene and traveled with him to the home. They allowed Mr. Garcia to enter the home first for that very reason, and in case something was going to come at them, Mr. Garcia would be subject to that. And other officers arrived. So, although they may have...
So they were assuming the occupants of the house were blind and couldn't figure out the difference between Garcia and an officer.
No, Your Honor.
They're choosing who to attack.
But just because they're willing to risk that does not mean that they should be punished for being willing to take that step.
No, it's a different question from whether they violated the Fourth Amendment, but you are now saying, oh, well, we should support good police work. Seems to me unlikely that this is what they're trained to do.
Well, that's exactly what the district court was trying to say, is this was bad police work, and that
same point. Bad police work is not necessarily a violation of the Constitution.
And that's true, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. O'Malley?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Thomas O'Malley, and I represent the defendant appellee Ricardo Garcia. In answer to Your Honor's question, to both questions, is this a consent case? I don't believe it is. And I don't believe that the court can find that there was an arrest without doing the prohibited second-guessing of the police officers.
What do you mean we can't find it's an arrest? Why isn't this an arrest the moment the car is stopped under the Supreme Court's holding in Wren?
Because under the testimony of the arresting officer, he wasn't going to ever arrest him.
No, no, look, there is a difference for the purposes of the Fourth Amendment between an arrest and a full custodial arrest, as taking the guy down to the station house. But for the purposes of the Fourth Amendment, Wren holds, when you're stopped for a traffic violation, you have been arrested on probable cause. That's the difference between this and a Terry stop. A Terry stop does not involve probable cause. And we held in Childs en banc, which the district court doesn't mention, nobody mentions, that traffic stops on probable cause are arrests and not governed by Terry. And here we have, in this case, people arguing back and forth about Terry as if Wren and Childs had never been decided.
I believe, Your Honor, that I can't answer your question, Your Honor. I don't think I can answer it properly. I can only testify, or I can only argue that Officer Boner says, I wasn't going to arrest him.
It makes no difference what is in the officer's head. That's an essential holding of Wren. The standard is objective, not subjective.
Yes, Your Honor. But what difference would it then make? Does that then give Bonar the right to search his house?
I don't understand what the abuse is. I mean, this is something he clearly, this is what Garcia wanted.
I don't agree, Your Honor. If you draw that conclusion, then you must draw the conclusion that Garcia's silence at the doorstep, where he never says, enter my home, where he never invites the police to follow him, assumes assent to them coming into the home and consent to search.
He's still handcuffed at this point?
I believe he was changed to the front, Your Honor. At the doorstep, his handcuffs were put in front.
Well, I know, but he's the handcuffed, right?
Yes, he is, Your Honor.
Well, they're going to let him wander around there in handcuffs looking for his identification?
And not watch him?
Sounds ridiculous.
It would, Your Honor, but it would
be... The officers would have to have their brains cleaned out if, you know, suppose he decides that what he really wants is his weapon, not his identification.
And that's a danger, though, that the officers are inviting by
right.
taking
so
him to his
house. Everybody had to understand, including Garcia, that if he was going to walk through that portal, an officer was coming with him. Garcia chose whether to walk through the portal. He didn't have to go inside.
He wasn't
going by himself. That was the one thing everybody had to understand.
I respectfully disagree with that point, Your Honor. I think that we have to go back to the law of medieval England before the Reformation to say that a silence assumes consent.
No, that's what we're doing. You're not being reasonable.
Your Honor, the question, though, I don't think it matters whether he was under arrest or not. Can we parlay a traffic stop into a search of a man's home?
And did he ask to go back to his house to get his driver's license?
No, Your Honor, he did not. It was Bonar who asked him, if you have identification at your house, then...
He's offering Garcia an option. I don't understand how offering someone an option violates the Fourth Amendment.
The offer itself doesn't violate it, Your Honor, but does he then get to do a full-blown...
But use some common sense. They lead him up to the door, he's handcuffed. They're going to say, okay, go into your house in your handcuffs, come back in your handcuffs with your ID.
Well, Your Honor, I think, though, that flies in the face of Chrisman, or this court's holding, and I apologize for not developing it in my brief. It's a 1976 holding, Your Honor, named Griffith, 537 F 2nd 900, where we say assisting officers are not permitted to, or arresting officers are not permitted to lead the accused from place to place and use his presence at each location
yes,
to justify
of course,
a search.
But they're not leading him. He's leading them.
Your Honor, the option to the police officers was to arrest him, and the only place they could determine whether he was intoxicated or not is at the station. But Bonar makes this decision. He says, I never arrest anyone until I know who they are. He had that option. The court found the facts that would allow it.
Now, really, that is so preposterous. I never arrest someone unless I know who he is. So you come across someone, you know, holding a smoking gun above his murder victim, and Bonar says, well, I can't, what's your name? Says the murderer, what's with the smoking weapon, what's your name? Says, I'm not telling you. So Bonar says, well, I guess I can't arrest you. Right? And that's ridiculous. That's preposterous. Right? That's preposterous.
I agree, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'd be happy to answer any other questions that the court may have. I think I've briefed our position and
okay.
laid it out in the brief.
Thank you very much, Mr. O'Malley.
Thank
Mr.
You,
Brown?
Very briefly, to address His Honor's question about whether or not this was Mr. Garcia's idea, there was a distinction between Mr. Overdahl in the Chrisman case, who said, my ID is back at my dorm, can I go get it? And the officer says, no, you can't, I'll have to go with you. And he said, okay. Whereas in this case, the officer asked him if he had ID anywhere, and he said, yes, he did. He had it at his house. He didn't know what 100 block it was in, but said he would show the officer. The officer asked, would you be willing to take me back to your house to prove who he was or he wasn't? And he said he would. So there is a difference in the semantics, perhaps, but has been discussed, we don't believe that it makes a big difference.
Could we just assume as a matter of law that this was all involuntary? Here's somebody running a fake ID mill, and he doesn't take even one of the fakes with him to use as a driver's license in the event he's stopped. He must have some mental impairment that prevents free consent to anything.
Your Honor, much like the cases where people consent to searches of vehicles they know have tons of narcotics in them, we can't understand those either.
Okay.
It just reinforces the point that we catch only the stupid criminals.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not, Mr. O'Malley?
Yes, I
am. Okay, well, we thank you very much for accepting.